From Schwartz Media, I'm Ange McCormack. This is 7am. The ABC has started the year fighting off accusations of racism, unlawful dismissal, and a failure to protect journalists from outside attacks. The case of Antoinette Latouf's sacking, a description which the ABC denies, has ignited a debate about the broadcaster's editorial policies, its coverage of the war in the Middle East, and its vulnerability to external lobbying and pressures. So, are the policies, the reporters, or the leaders to blame for the ABC's problems? Today, Associate Editor of the Saturday Paper, Martin Mackenzie Murray, on the generational divide emerging at the national broadcaster. It's Thursday, February 1st. Marty, a few weeks ago we ran an episode on 7am about the ABC, basically looking at how an internal restructure has been causing huge issues among staff. It turns out that was just the start of the ABC becoming kind of a news headline itself. What happened last week?
Last week, in kind of rapid succession, we had a quite comprehensive vote of no confidence amongst union members of the ABC, expressing no confidence in their managing director, David Anderson, regarding how the ABC had dealt with the dismissal of Antoinette Latouf, a presenter who said she was unlawfully dismissed in December.
Staff aired their grievances over the broadcaster's coverage of the Israel-Hamas war and sacking of journalist Antoinette Latouf.
Subsequent to that, and quite quickly, an emergency board meeting was summoned, which kind of voted precisely the opposite way and vested full confidence in their managing director. And following that, Ida Buttrose described as abhorrent the suggestion that the board might have been improperly influenced by external parties regarding Antoinette Latouf, and said that it was incorrect to suggest that the ABC management was indifferent to the concerns and safety of its staff. Again, in the same week, this is sort of all in a matter of days, the Prime Minister announces the new chair of the ABC.
So it gives me great pleasure to introduce Mr. Kim Williams, who we will recommend to the Governor-General to be the next chair of the ABC.
And then this week, Managing Director David Anderson, for the first time, spoke publicly about all of this in an interview with Radio National.
Mechanisms that you have. I don't think we're led by our staff, but I think our staff, the most important asset of the ABC, of our 91 years, our success has been built by the people that have worked for it, multiple generations of people. So you always listen to staff.
And so that was David Anderson after defending his own and the board's integrity, but also trying to assure staff that they are, in fact, listening to them.
Okay, and we'll get to all of those things that happened in close succession in this episode, but let's first look at the story that kind of connects all of these developments, which is the case of Antoinette Latouf. Her departure from the ABC has become massive. Can you explain, first of all, who Antoinette Latouf is and what she was doing at the ABC?
Latouf is a journalist who was casually employed in December for the ABC, specifically to host, just for 5 days, a morning show on Sydney Radio. This isn't a hard-hitting news program. There's lots of talkback, and you might discuss matters like what mouldy food do you have in the back of your fridge. In fact, I think Latouf said one of the topics were favourite Christmas songs that didn't include Michael Bublé. Before broadcasting on this program, Antoinette Latouf had been apprised of the ABC's social media guidelines. She'd been warned not to post anything that might attract opprobrium or controversy. Reminded, of course, about the ABC's rather solemn charter that legislatively obliges its staff members to a sense of impartiality. 3 days into this 5-day contract, Antoinette Latouf reposts something from Human Rights Watch on her Instagram page. And this is Human Rights Watch alleging that the Israel Defense Forces were using civilian starvation as an instrument of war. An allegation, in fact, that the ABC itself had reported on. The ABC says this was in direct breach of its policy. It was also a willful breach of the instructions she had personally been given. And whilst Latouf says they were commending her, after just 3 of those 5 days of casual employment, she was told to leave. What this has triggered and caused incredible pain internally to the ABC is Antoinette Latouf made an application with the Fair Work Commission, alleging her unlawful dismissal on the grounds of political expression. And then this was later amended to also include the grounds of racial discrimination.
Right. So Antoinette Latouf is basically told by the ABC to finish up her very short contract, even earlier than previously defined. She takes issue with that decision because she obviously thinks it's unclear about what she did wrong, so she files this application to the Fair Work Commission. How did the ABC respond to that?
The ABC always denied, very strongly denied, that they are inadequately supportive of staff. They've also always strongly denied that she was unlawfully dismissed, much less on the grounds of racial discrimination. But one thing that the ABC's defense did alter is their kind of definition or use of the word sacking. Initially, they had admitted that they had sacked her, but then they later revised their defense, saying that, in fact, they hadn't sacked her and had rather let her contract expire. They also invoked the fact that they had paid her out for all of those 5 days. Josh Bornstein, who I spoke to, who is Latouf's lawyer, also told me that mediation had dissolved, it had failed, and that they're now at the point of jurisdictional challenge. Josh Bornstein is of the position that she very much was sacked and it was unlawful. And their hope is that certain things will be ventilated, or that the Fair Work Commission will compel the exposure of internal documentation and compel witnesses to speak about the circumstances around Latouf's quote-unquote sacking. Crucial to this story is the fact that on Jan 16, the 9 newspapers published leaked messages that were sent within a group calling themselves Lawyers for Israel. And this group had viewed Antoinette Latouf's reputation, so remarks made prior to her employment at the ABC, which they felt revealed her to be unprofessionally biased against Israel, perhaps even contemptuous of Israel. And part of their lobbying efforts were messages to Ita Buttrose, ABC chair, and David Anderson, the managing director, arguing for her dismissal. So the exposure of these texts and this lobbying effort quite seriously aggravated the crisis for the ABC. And the ABC, again, in this point, says we weren't improperly influenced by this lobbying, but certainly we acknowledged its existence. I think the interpretation of those texts and what they exposed has aggravated certain schisms, some of them, I think, generational within the ABC.
After the break, inside the divisions at the ABC.
This year, the Saturday Paper celebrates 10 years as Australia's leading independent newspaper. In that time, it's built a peerless reputation for quality journalism, for telling stories that are ignored elsewhere. It's the essential account of the week in politics, culture, and news. When you read the Saturday Paper, you don't need to read anything else. Subscribe today from just $2.10 per week. Visit thesaturdaypaper.com.au/subscribe. The Saturday Paper, the whole story.
With award-winning news coverage and reviews, the Saturday Paper is essential reading for everybody. For a limited time, subscribe to a year of our quality, independent journalism, and you'll receive the Saturday Paper's stainless steel coffee cup, made in collaboration with Fresco, for free. Subscribe from just $2.10 a week. Simply visit thesaturdaypaper.com.au/offer. The Saturday Paper. No hot takes.
Marty, we're talking about the ABC and how the sacking of Antoinette Latouf has sparked internal tensions among staff about how the organisation handled her termination, but also how the ABC in general deals with complaints, how they protect staff from external attacks, and how they support journalists from diverse backgrounds. What have staff been saying about all of those things?
There's a few things, and this won't be surprising given how large an organization the ABC is. It's also the country's largest employer of journalists. There are disputing interpretations, not just of the Latouf case, but of the culture of the ABC and the adequacy of both the freedoms and protections of journalists. One point that is definitely consistent and universal is that the Latouf case has been very badly mishandled. Very senior reporter, John Lyons, who spoke at that union meeting and has now returned to Israel to report upon the Gazan war, said that he was embarrassed. And he was certainly of the belief that the lobbying had exercised some influence on ABC management. He said that he was embarrassed to be part of that organization because of that. So in that interview this week that David Anderson gave on Radio National, he had to walk a line between defending his own and the ABC board's and management's integrity, as well as acknowledging various grievances amongst ABC staff at the moment.
The staff union voted no confidence in you in the wake of that case. You were then backed by the ABC board. Has public trust in the ABC, though, been damaged by this case?
Look, I don't believe so, but I guess time will tell. So this case is before fair work.
So he said that he was receptive to grievances or complaints about racism within the ABC. But he also denied, or it was his view, he said, that institutional racism is not a problem at the ABC.
That's dealt with at the time.
Is there institutional racism at the ABC?
I don't believe so, but it is pretty sad that we still need to be on the lookout for racism. We have a zero tolerance policy when it comes to racism.
And he was also quite emphatic that the ABC is not, in fact, vulnerable to external lobbying.
But there is now criticism that the ABC is vulnerable to outside lobbying and political pressure, particularly from the pro-Israel lobby, is it?
Oh, I reject that completely. So, look, there is quite coordinated campaigns that come to us on email, and you can tell because they're all formatted. And, you know, I've been aware that they are coordinated for some time, and it's not just around this particular coverage that...
There are also other questions about social media policy. Well, I spoke with a number of ABC staff and kind of had the impression that there are, in fact, quite clearly defined guidelines. Awareness of them or interest in upholding them, however, is debatable. And this was a point of conversation with a number of ABC staff, that evolution or devolution of social media. It wasn't all that long ago that there was this outsized and, to me, naive optimism about the power of social media. Former managing director of the ABC, Mark Scott, was really enthusiastic about it, really encouraged staff to use Twitter, saw it as this powerful tool of both sharing and also finding news, of bolstering individual and institutional profiles. One staff member now kind of only half-jokingly said there probably would be few media executives today that wouldn't like to, if it were lawful, to deny all staff ever from ever again using social media. And it's true. I think it's brought much more pain and consternation to the reputations of individuals and institutions than it's done good.
I feel like there is likely not a unanimous view among staff at the ABC about how they should be allowed to use social media and express their opinions, because, I mean, personally, I've seen some ABC staff members, high profile or not, take very different approaches to that policy, especially around this conflict in the Middle East. Does the ABC need to think about how broad those policies are and whether it's fair to essentially ban or gag reporters from sharing their own thoughts publicly?
I think a major central point in all of this, and it's something that aggrieves some staff members, this is more likely a view held by older journalists that say, particularly an ABC journalist does not have the unfettered right to express whatever he or she likes on social media. And the reason for that is a very solemn point, which is the ABC Charter. This is a legislative obligation for ABC staff members to operate impartially and to function and behave and work in a certain way so that the public doesn't suspect them of anything else. That's different to how you and I can work, Ange, even. The obligations under the ABC Charter are quite distinctive and powerful, unavoidable. And some journalists, annoyed at the seeming indifference to the ABC Charter when those arguments about being gagged are being made.
So, Marty, at the start of this episode, you briefly mentioned that the ABC has this new chair. The Prime Minister announced Kim Williams, the former News Corp boss, will be taking on the role next month. Could new leadership signal a shift here, or are some of these issues that we're talking about more fundamental?
Yeah, it's a good question, a very large and open question. The appointment of Kim Williams is very interesting to me, and all the people I spoke to were quite pleased by it. They saw in Kim a man with a very deep intellect and very thick skin. As Jonathan Holmes said, there will be a few very passionate, the most ardent ABC supporters out there. The bogeyman for them has always been Rupert Murdoch. And they'll see in Kim Williams a man who spent, I think a good 15 years working for him. So where he takes the ABC, how he exercises his influence, how lightly or heavily it might be exercised, is an open question. I'm very interested in finding out the answer. We won't know for some time. He'll begin in March. The timing is very interesting. I think the Fair Work Commission hearing of the Latouf case is scheduled for March 8, and I think Kim Williams's appointment as chair begins on March 6. So he inherits that. He inherits a staff that is experiencing certain ruptures, certain questions of support, certain questions about how journalism should be practiced and relative to the ABC Charter. And he also comes in at a time where the Gazan war has accentuated all of this. Like it has sort of magnified passions in a way that the scrutiny, which the ABC always receives, it always attracts, the scrutiny has been intensified. So it's a very interesting time that he assumes the chair.
Marty, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.
From the Saturday paper comes The Food, a free weekly newsletter featuring curated recipes from some of the country's leading chefs, including Andrew McConnell, Otama Carey, David Moyle, and Karen Martini. Cook what they cook by subscribing today at thesaturdaypaper.com.au/newsletters.
Also in the news today, the federal government will boost the Commonwealth's share of public school funding from 20 to 22.5% by 2026. Western Australia is the first state to negotiate a new deal with the Commonwealth, which will mean all of its public schools will be fully funded by the government to the levels outlined in the Gonski Review. And Australia's annual inflation rate has hit a two-year low of 4.1%. The easing of inflation means another interest rate rise next week is less likely, according to economists. I'm Ange McCormack. This is 7am. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow with an episode about threats to democracy around the world in 2024, which has been called the Year of Elections.